Hey there, grinders, and welcome to the Experience Grind podcast, the show about getting older and all of the lessons and valuable information and the shit that we've learned along the way through games, movies, and experiences and other stuff. Honestly, I don't know why I prepare like every single time and then I forget every single time how it even goes, but we are fast tracking it into the episode. My name is Sean, as you can tell by that hella awkward intro, and I am joined on this third or fourth, I don't know, week of Brookstober by four of my good friends. If Ryan were to have a backburster come out of himself, it would probably be dressed as Rogue. Ryan, what's up?
Ooh, interesting. Rogue the X-Men character.
Yeah.
Okay. I like it. Is this thematically? Also, I'm good. You said what's up. Good, buddy. How are you doing?
Doing pretty good. Happy birthday, current day of recording.
Thank you kindly, sir.
Not on day of listening. But hey.
That's okay.
Doesn't matter. Time travel.
Yeah, they don't care about that, these listeners.
Yeah. Yeah. With Ryan, we've got Brian, and if Brian were to split in half, his younger, prettier, hotter self would have 10 hats on. What's up, Brian?
That's too many hats.
I think you're just jealous about how behatted your younger, hotter self is.
Yeah, you're not wrong. I wish I could pull off 10 hats, but I have to stick to one at a time, unfortunately.
With him is Kyle, who I feel like Kyle, if Kyle were to activate his, actually his neck would open up and it would just come out like a reverse blowjob, but like a weird one, like a tracheotomy.
So like blowjob. A dick would come out of his throat?
Yeah. So he'd come vomit, out dick like... first. And then when he got out, it would just be like 4 foot long hair and he'd be getting blown by somebody on a school bus or something.
Bandit. While listening to Slayer.
Yes, while listening to Slayer. What's up, Kyle?
Yeah, I mean, find the lie, I guess.
I don't think anybody can.
Now, is the person that emerges from Kyle that is also blowing younger Kyle part of Kyle?
Yeah, it's
circular. I feel like it's almost like one of those horse costumes where you know there's always two people under there, but mm-hmm. you can't quite tell exactly where one ends and where one starts.
Sure, yeah.
It's an Ouroboros.
Nice. Ooh,
that's wonderful. That was that not is, planned, folks. Kyle's just
that was great. Amazing. Right off the dome. I like it, Kyle.
Last,
the best jokes are ones
least,
that nobody laughs at. They just say, that was funny.
I feel like if Brooks were to activate, he would actually have to do it in a wrestling ring, and he'd have to be against someone that could pick him up and powerbomb him, because as soon as he came down, split right in half, and then it would actually just be Brooks. It would be Brooks in a different wrestling attire without his back open. You know what I mean? You guys know what I mean. But probably with hair. I don't know. I picture cool.
With Fabio hair. With hair.
Hey, yeah, back in the day, I had some good hair, man. So.
Yeah.
You did, but actually. Hey, I have photographic proof.
Yes.
Thankfully, guys, none of us are women, so we don't have to care about activating. Because none of those rules apply to us, right?
Yeah. That's the message of the movie, I believe.
Yeah.
Oh, if I could activate into Rogue, I would. And then I would wither into a shell of Orion. That would be fine.
Let's fuck Ryan.
I'm not already a shell of Orion?
A lot of shrimp, like 4 pounds worth.
Some people would say so.
That's what you would do, Kyle?
Yeah.
Immediately be
that
the
part of your Ouroboros?
Randy Quaid character.
Just aggressively close to the camera.
Really identified with one person in this movie real hard.
All right, I anticipate a couple of calls from caller from Texas. Interesting.
Woof.
Boys, The substance. There's no real easy way to break into this outside of like a caller from Texas, like just wanted to call in and spend his Brookstober talking about how, you know, how women should feel and how their age and accompanying beauty should reflect their worth. But, you know, we should probably hear about that later because, woof, that is the wrong take from this movie. That is a lot of fucking takes. Show of hands, because this is an audio format and that is super helpful. But who has seen this movie before? All right, that is Kyle and Ryan, which leaves out Brooks and Brian.
You've seen Process of Elimination.
Did Sean. Ryan, Kyle, did you guys see this movie recently or back when it came out?
I saw it when it hit streaming the first time.
Cool. Same. I picked up Mubi for a month just to watch it.
Same.
Which still would have been exactly how
I
saw
it. I think recently. We watched it at pretty much the same time, Ryan.
Really that, close. Yeah.
Strange Darling.
Yeah, you turned me on to Strange Darling. You got to that one quite a bit before me. I think you were more hip on that one.
Brian Brooks, this is your first time seeing this. Was there a... did you know about this movie? Were you actively just not watching it or not time?
I just hadn't gotten to it yet, personally. Right on. It was on my list of things.
Pretty much the same boat. And I was like, okay, this looks pretty cool. And I just hadn't gotten around to watching it yet.
Mm-hmm. Hell yeah. Well, I'm glad that you guys chose for me last week via, you know, after... four different impersonations and blah blah.
Of which
I almost didn't
by the
recognize
way,
your voice.
Of which I have to ask, who did the best?
That's what and then I whose am. Was the worst?
Who was offensive to you?
Whose was offensive to you?
Yeah.
Okay. As the dude that actively sounds the most feminine out of all of us, I was a little thrown off by the amount of deep voices. Like, Ryan's giving me
a
twang. Like, hey, you, like, where was that twang accent coming from?
<didn't know>. It came from a place of love.
Last week was a fever dream.
Came yeah, from somewhere. I don't think I can make my voice as deep as Ryan got.
Hey guys, it's Sean. Like, okay, now I'm hearing it. It's actually uncanny.
Yeah,
there it is.
I remember it did sound a lot like Sylvester Stallone, and I was like,
yes. Yeah, it was that weird accent. It was crazy.
Uh-huh.
But I'm glad that you guys did pick this, because I'm pretty sure last year I actually said that this was going, like, I called my shot a year ago that this was going to be my pick for this year. So I'm glad that there's at least a couple of people that had not seen this yet. And for you listeners, if you haven't watched it yet, it is on HBO Max. Pause this, go watch it, come on back, because we're going to get into the spoilers here, and it's fucking crazy. So
this is definitely one that I'm glad I didn't know a lot about going in.
Oh, yeah, it's a great blind watch.
Like, I knew a little bit, but...
We'll get there. The substance opens around a newly turned 50-year-old Elizabeth Sparkles, or Lizzie, a TV fitness host who learns that she is losing her show to be replaced by someone younger and hotter. As if her birthday couldn't get any worse, on her drive home, she notices a billboard with herself on it being taken down right as she gets T-boned. While in the hospital, a creepy young Skarsgård-looking nurse's aide feels her spine and slips her a USB for something called the substance. You know, because he determines her to be the perfect candidate. Feeling her status and self-worth starting to slip away, Lizzie decides to give it a shot. The rules are simple. You activate once, you stabilize every day, you switch every 7 days without exception.
No exceptions!
So in Brookstober fashion, she goes all Nostromo and backbursters herself, well, out of herself. As one can imagine, the new, better version of herself rebrands herself as Sue and quite easily lands the new show, replacing herself. How many times do I say herself in this stupid script? It's insane. This movie is insane. Replacing herself on TV. and becomes quite the star attraction leading up to be the star of the New Year's Eve show. But let us not forget the rules. Well, we might not forget the rules, but sometimes when someone can take an inch and the consequences are seemingly on somebody else, why not take a mile, am I right? In a constant fight for control, Sue takes more and more time to switch back, draining Lizzie's spinal fluid stabilizer and actively rotting and mutating Lizzie. One week in an hour turns to 2 weeks, turns to 3 months, and Sue has milked Lizzie dry literally the day before the big show. Facing inevitable death, Sue switches back to Lizzie, who is basically rendered into a golem-esque hunchback. Enough being enough, she decides to terminate this ordeal and reverse Pulp Fiction Sue. With only a little of the termination syringe left, she has second thoughts and decides to let Sue go along with the show. Unfortunately, the deed had been done, and she has no stabilizer still. Her teeth start falling out, her nails out, her fucking ear falls off. So Sue does what anyone would do and reactivates. You guys remember the other rule. Activate once and
single
discard.
Single use only.
Yeah.
Single use only.
She tries to Sueception, but instead ends up as Monstro Elisu. Elisu? I'm going to go with Elisu. Straight out of The Binding of Isaac, this monstrosity headlines the New Year's Eve show, and this goes about as well as you would think, considering she has teeth on her chest, Elizabeth's face on her back, is a blob, and has a boob eyeball that falls out of her skull.
She coughs it up.
We will
out of her just coughs a boob out of her eye socket. I love it.
That is so well put. Coughs a boob out of her eye socket. Like, just those words together is fucking insane and ridiculous.
That should have been
somehow on the poster. Is exactly what happened. We will definitely probably get more into discussing the ending in discussion. But this is the substance. Which... Boys, this brings us straight into the first category that I'm going to bring to the table, which is the story. And I want to hear from somebody who had not seen this before. So I want to start with Brian. And Brian, as in recent fashion, whenever you're done and you want to wrap up, toss it to whoever you want to hear from next.
All right. The story here, there's a lot of nuance and stuff behind what the actual plot that you see on the screen is, and it's obviously an allegory for Hollywood and beauty standards and misogyny within the studio system. And
that's what it was about.
Well, you know, they're real subtle about it.
His name was Harvey the whole time.
Obviously, this thing has its critical acclaim. This screenplay won Best Screenplay at Cannes and was nominated for an Academy Award for Best Original Screenplay. I found it really entertaining. Just seeing the difference between the two versions of the same person and how easy it was for the younger, more vain portion to just take from the elder version, the washed up 50-year-old Hollywood star. Just very, very interesting. There's a scene where fucking Demi Moore in front of a mirror, getting ready to go on a date with a guy who is, she's so far out of his league, but she's second-guessing herself at every stage because she keeps seeing this billboard for her younger self out of a window. And the whole time you're like, no, you're already too good for this guy. Stop it. You're self-sabotaging here. But it is, of course, because of the ingrained beauty standards of Hollywood. That's to say, I like most of this movie, but the last 20 minutes are so fucking crazy. some of the things I read on Reddit, which made me actually giggle. From the moment the two of them start fighting, I was like, oh, how the fuck are they going to land this? And clearly they decided landing is for suckers, and we're going to keep on flying. And then another comment said, the last 20 minutes reminded me of Too Many Cooks. Because it gets, it goes off the hinges at the end there. It gets absolutely wild. There's like this nice, dark, thematic thing that happens the whole movie. And then the last 20 minutes, they're like, 80s schlocky horror movie. Let's go. We're going to spray the audience with blood for an ungodly amount of time. So for that reason, it was like so good, so good, so good. And then at the very end, it dropped down to a 3 for me.
Okay.
And I would like to hear from Ryan.
I agree with, I think, everything you said up until the 20 minutes. I think this film absolutely lands it in the way that I also think Brian De Palma's Carrie absolutely lands it. And it becomes, sure, over the top and schlocky, though this film was never like anything less than on the nose about all of its themes. Like, it's not subtle. So I think the big jump to this big schlocky ending, it's fine for me. We were already kind of, I think it's a very nice ramp up into this madness. Like, for me, it didn't feel like it was coming out of nowhere. I felt like it was peppering up in like stages, and it was increasing just right. And the final blood squirting audience scene is just like this. I honestly think it's the director and her just rage at this fucking Hollywood machine and like how it treats women so shittily. And it's just, it's a cathartic fuck you middle finger to all these people more so than really anything else. And I guess this is fitting because honestly, this was 2024. This was my number 2 movie of 2024. And if you remember what my number 1 movie was, it was I saw the TV Glow, and it kind of ends in a very, we don't care about the narrative anymore, and we're just going to lean fully into the symbolic. And for me, I was completely fine with it. I love when movies do this, but I can absolutely see how it's going to be frustrating for a number of the audience, for sure. So for me, it is an enthusiastic 5, though. I think the story is great, and the only other thing I'll say is great visual storytelling.
We're only out of 4 points.
Obviously. Out of 4 points. Sorry. This is a 4 then. This is 4. This is the 4 out of 4. This is the perfect storytelling. I love the visual storytelling. It's got more dialogue than the last movie we talked about, but it's not a lot. It's still told mostly through visuals, which is wonderful. And the visuals are solid.
I read that the script only had 27 pages of dialogue.
Mm-hmm. Sounds right.
But it was 180-some pages long? Yeah. 120?
Two pages of it was just Dennis Quaid Dennis Quaid eating shrimp.
Direction.
That's what it is. Slap.
In similar fashion, I kind of, like Sean, I want to hear from somebody who has not seen this yet. So Brooks, I would love to hear what you thought of the story.
So, I enjoyed the movie. I'm kind of with Brian, actually, about the tail end a little bit. To me, it felt like I was watching the middle of the movie Freaked, starring Alex Winter. Because it kind of gave that very schlocky B-movie vibe right there. But not necessarily in a bad way. I was still entertained. But I couldn't tell exactly. I mean, it did feel like it did jump the rails on the story side of things on that end. And as you pointed out, and it kind of felt that way to me too, it's like instead of going for a landing, they're just, going straight into full on symbolism.
Flying into the sun.
Just flying as high as they could go. So this one gets a high 3 from me. Like, I would have pushed it to a 4. It was I mean, because I felt like the story moved along at a very good pace, and up until Monstro Elisu, Eliasu, I don't know,
Elisasu,
Monstro
Elisasu.
Yes, up to that point, it was going great, and then as soon as her arm comes off, and everything, it's like it just kind of starts going full B movie. So yeah, on that note, Mr. Kyle, finish us out here.
Well, Sean still hasn't gone either.
Oh well then.
But I'll kick.
I still want Kyle to go first.
Because I'll be very quick. Because this was Ryan's number two movie of 2024. This was my number one movie of 2024. I adored this movie. And just get this out of the way because I wrote it down. This was a three-part thing, and then the fourth part comes in at the end that I forgot. But this movie sells me because it's got butts, body horror, and bitchin' nostalgia. But it's also got blast beats at the end when the arm comes off and the blood spraying. And I literally smile, laugh watching that scene every time. Just like in the end of Evil Dead when the blood rain comes down. And I'm just like, I just laugh hysterically. It's the fucking greatest, most metal thing of all time. The most enthusiastic four you can get. And I will then quickly kick it to Sean with a request. May I have first or last word on style, please, sir?
Absolutely. So I am in a similar vein to Ryan and Kyle. This was in my top five of 2024. I would have to look at a list. I think there was a thing or two that was above it, but this is a full enthusiastic four. I think the story kind of ends after Sue kicks Lizzie to death. Like that's, and then it sends it out in a blaze of glory. And it's just like the fun after that, because at this point it's a New Year's Eve TV party show, right? And every single person there is topless.
I was going to say, I love that there's a little girl in the audience and they don't cover up her eyes until there's one tit too many, the one that pops out of the eye socket.
Exactly. Well, it's not supposed to come out of the center of your face.
Cover that little girl's eyes. She might see an odd number of tits.
Don't enforce your beauty standards on a monster, Lizasu.
Yeah. So it's been said countless times. It's so on the nose, but I think the story is fantastic. All the way down to, I think, one of the coolest lines through the movie is every time that Lizzie went out, she's got that big yellow jacket and she's wearing the glasses. She's covering herself like she is like a hermit or recluse or something that like people shouldn't see. And it isn't even until the end of the movie when she's like this hunchback golem that it actually feels like, oh, that I could see someone wearing that to maybe cover up what's going on right here. So it's like this whole thing that like it's when you look back, it's so ridiculous. Not that I'm saying that someone's feelings that way is ridiculous, especially in her position and where she is in the world. But yeah, this story fucking slaps. But yeah, so a full on four. But it's not just a story that drives a movie. It's also the characters. So the characters and the actors and the casting on this. I'm going to send it to Brooks first. I would love to hear from you on characters.
So, character-wise, I love everything about it. I feel like every Demi Moore portrayed the older actress that's, you know, past her prime, and I'm saying that with quotation marks because of the, you know, that typical Hollywood standard. I think she played that very well. I mean, I can almost guarantee you she's experienced it. Margaret Qualley, she nailed the better version of her down. Both of them, I feel like, kind of just, you know, two sides, different coin, or two sides of the same coin there. It was really good. Dennis Quaid played the very obnoxious studio executive, you know, extremely sexist, like, you know, I mean, the dude's name was Harvey. I don't know who they're calling out on that one.
Who could it be?
And then, I don't know, that Robin Greer creepy nurse dude who turns out to be the old man at the diner, if I was reading that correctly.
Mm-hmm. How could you read it incorrectly? They revealed it three different times in the scene.
Exactly. So it was, I mean, it was a really... I think every character was very well cast and well done. I mean, they hit what they intended to do. So it gets a 4 from me. So let me kick it off to Brian.
No surprises here. 4 from me, too. These characters are really what's driving the story, obviously. Demi Moore finally won a Golden Globe for this, was nominated for an Oscar, and ironically lost it to Mikey Madison in Anora, who is like the youngest best actress winner, or yeah, in the category's history. So,
isn't,
you know,
that ironic?
That actually is ironic, Alanis. I did read that. I did read that they wanted Ray Liotta for the Dennis Quaid. It
would have been great, too.
It would have been so good, but unfortunately, he had to die on us, and he didn't get to eat all that shrimp.
What a prick.
That would have been so fucking good. But, I mean, Dennis Quaid crushes it and eats a whole lot of shrimp. And
I hear that's why he got paid in.
Yeah, they were just like, here, have some shrimp. This is how we're going to pay you. And he's like, can I eat it on camera? And,
I want to eat it now. Is that okay?
Is it cool if, like, just during the scene, I just chow down on it and somehow become the most disgusting thing in this entire body horror movie?
Yeah, yeah. Eat all the shrimp you can, but act like you've never ate shrimp in your life.
Yeah, just
like, just destroy it.
I'd get those nice sounds on the audio for you guys.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's a 4.
ASMR for the listeners.
These characters are phenomenal and just so well done. And even the side characters, when you start getting into the men, like Oliver, the neighbor, and Fred, the guy from high school, and of course, Harvey. And the boyfriend at the end, Diego, who like is there and encouraging her for the night before the New Year's show, and then fucks off immediately when he gets yelled at from the bathroom. 4. And I'm going to kick it to Kyle.
I really thought I would be the one coming in here, like, singing the praises of Dennis Quaid, because, goddamn, is he fucking great in this movie. For 8 minutes of screen time, the presence he demands is insane. But, sure, I'll talk about Margaret Qualley, who is just fucking fantastic. The way that she embodies Sue and, like, when, like, she has the chicken bone burst out of her butt and just the growing worry of, like, yeah, them, like, zooming in and, like, her snapping and losing it. Demi Moore, like, dealing with being cast aside. When she just fucking veges into the chair during her 7 days and just watches infomercials, like, felt. Like, they capture shit so fucking great. But again... I'm going to keep it short and kick it to Ryan, but with the ending of course, Enthusiastic Four, and again, Dennis Quaid, man. Dennis Quaid, y'all.
Yeah, I think the three actors we've talked about, all fantastic and all do an amazing job. Quaid, Moore, and Qualley, all great for what they do. Everybody... It's not a large cast, but everybody knew exactly the assignment and they know how to play that tone perfectly. Mm-hmm. And they're not just playing like one or two notes, they're using the whole fucking emotional keyboard. Like, they're put through the ringers. More so the ladies, not as much Dennis Quaid. Dennis Quaid's one note, and that's fine. He plays that note.
It's an important gusto. Note.
It's an important note, and it
he plays
the canon embodiment in the 1812 overture.
Yeah, there you go. That's a great way to put it. Without it, you lose something. But it is one note over and over again. But that's fine. Demi Moore, Margaret Qualley, I don't know how you pronounce her name. I'm very sorry. Just phenomenal performances. Demi Moore, somebody I never looked at anything as an actress, I think gives maybe one of her best performances. Period.
Absolutely.
Here, that's a career-defining.
And I think Margaret Qualley's still like in her prime, so we'll see, I think, a lot more from her to come. And she's kind of promising to me in the way of, like, Florence Pugh was many years ago. So I just hope to see more from her in the future, too. 4 out of 4. I loved everything here. The only other thing I would say is the antagonist we've not really talked about. I love that the antagonist is Elizabeth and Sue herself. They are their antagonist. They are also, even though it is a system, like, Elizabeth just cannot help that self-destructive cycle out of it. And like, you're right, the movie ends when like they kill each other. She kills herself. That's the end. And then it's just a giant middle finger and it's La La Land, whatever. But like, that's the story. It's a sad, sad self-inflicting cycle of shit. And it's kind of, it's a really sad movie that also makes you laugh. And it's really fucking, I don't know. It should be celebrated for that. But 4, and then I'm going to kick it to Sean.
Kyle just said career defining for Demi Moore, and I couldn't agree more with that. Like, honestly, the same boat as Ryan. Like, I've never thought of her really in other things. Like, I could name a couple of other things that she's been in, but this is just like one of those standouts, which is so crazy considering the topic of the movie and age. And like, this is the one that really captured me for her as a role. I could not even picture Ray Liotta as Harvey in here after seeing Dennis Quaid. 100%. Like, I can't replace Dennis Quaid with Ray Liotta here. Like, Dennis Quaid is so perfect and so over the top and just so obnoxious, and his mannerisms, his tone, his exuberance in how obnoxious he is just, it's so poignant. But someone mentioned Fred earlier, maybe it was Kyle, and it made me remember, I wanted to bring that up when we were talking about story. Like, Brian had said, she's so out of Fred's league. Sure, absolutely. But he's literally the only person that saw her for a person and for who she was instead of an age and a beauty. And she still, when she got to the point, when she met up with the older nurse, man, at the diner, the old guy who was like, how much has she taken yet? You got to remember that you're still worth it. And then she goes home and is like, you know what? I am worth it. I'm going to make this call, get this date. And she self-sabotages again there. Mm-hmm. And it's just this cycle that ramps up and ramps up. And I think the character of Fred, his role in the story and that line through the story was fantastic. 4 out of 4 characters. Ryan, you put it so, like, the antagonist, it's crazy that they were the antagonist and the victims the entire time. And like, sure, there's other antagonists, society and Harvey or whatever, but in reality,
the real antagonist was the beauty standards we made along the way. Dude, thanks, I really thought Fred was going to turn out to be like a stalker or something, and he was going to figure out what was happening, and that was going to be the twist.
I had Fred pegged as a good guy from the start when he was like, you were always beautiful, you still are. I was like, I don't know why, I trusted him, yo!
Yeah, he gave
you
her...
You were right to.
Okay, could you imagine being a stalker and being like, here's all my doctor paperwork?
Although he did.
I wrote my number
He did love bomb with like the text chain when like she stood him up, so...
Yeah.
I don't know.
Good guy.
But also, like, dude, you had a shot at, like, a celebrity, and she's slipping through your fingers. I get the desperation.
So, you might send 4 text messages when she goes to dinner. You're like, I really thought, all right.
Yeah.
Before reality sets in.
Kyle, you had a small request.
Yeah.
To start style and tone.
Yeah, man.
Can you do that for me?
Sure thing, buddy. Appreciate the opportunity.
You're welcome.
This movie, I don't know. Maybe I am a slut for... Gee, I don't know, man. I love movies that just
hard stop. Substance. Maybe I'm a slut.
And stuff. I mean, yeah, that too.
Substance.
There's no maybe there. this movie just... It's seeped in its style, the way it's presented. This... The sex appeal that's laid out and, like, enhanced and used to tell so much of the story. The super obvious references to The Shining from Kubrick, but yet they still make you feel uncomfortable. That scene where she gets fired and fucking Harvey's just... It's the long take of this him walking down this long hallway to dump the box on her, give her the shitty gift, and then it stays on him as he walks all the way out. All of that beautiful, all the different like hard cuts. I love the weird light effect of when it transitions into like Sue being born and like that's like this weird consciousness transferation, but it isn't. They are their own separate people, but they are one. All of this, and you know, to talk about the music, this fucking overbearing techno horn that repeats constantly, the way that like. You actually feel the way that they start to degrade, like when she is out of the spine juice and like everything starts to go like fuzzy in the ears and the way that apparently the substance makes you a number one subprime contractor overnight because I can never build a secret door in my own bathroom
in 3 days like after just being born.
But you know, all of that to say. The fucking 80s like aesthetic. I love movies that lend into that. I'm a guy that notices cars. The way that they have these pristine classic and current cars to sort of just like mix in all of the era. It's
so classic.
It's now. It's future tech. It all blends so beautifully. Demi Moore's like fucking style is like that actress icon that like. She has all these big pantsuits. I love the inconspicuous yellow coat. When she gets fucking transformed into Elizabeth Sue and Demi Moore is just on the back in that constant rigor scream pose that is so captured essence of Sleepaway Camp, which is one of my favorite horror movies of all time because of that weird, uncanny valley cut to the mask of the main... God damn it. It's a bonus point, boys. This is a 5 for me. I don't care. It's getting it. This movie is style defined. I fucking love it. Brian, talk me down.
Well said. I don't know if I can because when it comes to the style of this movie, the tone that's set and the fucking music and there's a reason this was as well received as well. What I wrote down. Bear with me. Jane Fonda and the Eric Prydz Call on Me video meet the picture of Dorian Gray and Death Becomes Her with The Fly and The Thing, some Requiem for a Dream and a sprinkle of 2001 Space Odyssey and The Shining. Did I get that right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Put it all in a blender and you get Elizabeth Sue.
it's and then Elizabeth Sue. It's shot beautifully. The scenes, the everything is just it's so well done, and I'm giving it a full 4, the most enthusiastic 4 I have in me, and I want to go to Sean.
Kyle, if you didn't use a bonus point there, I was going to. This movie oozes the substance of style. Mm-hmm. Like, it just oozes. The way that this movie is shot, and maybe that is a director thing, but the way it's shot, I have Benjamin Krajon, or I don't know, it's got one of those weird little accents over the sea. He's the director of cinematography. Like, the shots are fantastic. Kyle mentioned those long shots. You've got Harvey the first time when she finds out that she's getting fired, hiding in the bathroom. It's a long shot of him coming in, pissing right in your face, basically, and walking out without washing his hands. It's everything is so deliberate. the cuts, those flares, like when Sue's show starts getting going and it, there's almost this, there's like ray bursts and ethereal glow to it, almost like it's like this new dream coming to fruition. Holy shit. And just getting into the genre of body horror.
Mm-hmm.
Bro. Like, wonder she has to stitch her own back up.
Genre defying. Defining. Oh.
Man, it was... Dude, style on this movie is off the chain. Off the charts. Ryan, I don't think anybody's talking anybody down. So, Ryan, just to you.
The most enthusiastic four you could have. I love the editing. I love how this movie is shot. As Sean said, more so I like love how the camera is placed. Like they place it real low for certain shots. Like there's in like the there's a shower shot where the camera is zoning up and you just see like this elongated shower stall. That's so fucking neat. It's like a clever blend of practical and CG. It's great. It's great. This is, I don't want to repeat too much of what everybody else said, but like, I think everything is firing on all cylinders. There's not a single element in the style category that has flaw. I think everything's perfect. I think they shoot with different lenses for different things. Like the way they capture the authentic look of those like infomercial or not infomercials, but like the dance aerobic kind of broadcasts. Is perfect. It's perfect. And it looks very different. Like they really pay attention to so many small details and it really just makes everything pop and zing. Again, just everything is just beautifully done here. Style the highest four possible. And as Sean said, if Kyle didn't give it a five, I would have.
Damn.
Brooks, that leaves you, buddy.
One.
Zero.
And I will not explain myself.
So, one, you know, Brian was listing off like a bunch of movies that, you know, or stylistic movies too. That he had mentioned. Kyle, what was the one that you wanted to mention?
Reanimator. The substance is obviously the juice from Reanimator. It's just another great 80s horror touch. Oh!
So, on that, I think Kyle could probably agree with the sentiment I'm trying to go with here. It feels like an artsy take on a trauma film. Especially at the end.
It's trashy, yeah.
I feel like the end gets a little trauma-esque, but on a very different
it's
stage.
But on the, yeah. No, I mean, it's like...
Cronenberg. It's Cronenberg. Cronenberg movies take themselves super serious. If Cronenberg,
directed trauma film. Maybe. But, you know, that's the feel like the Brood. This is not necessarily a... This isn't a bad thing. Because, you know, I love the schlockiness of trauma films. But, like... The whole bunch of blood and stuff at the end. The music notes was, you know, stylistically, it's a very solid four for me. It just hit everything right. Everything felt like it was a part of the movie. Every note hit, every camera shot, it was just, it felt right. Like it didn't. Nothing felt out of place for this movie.
Nice. So,
I just want to say one more before my favorite Letterboxd review is a guy that says he was on the B directing crew for this movie and his job was to get shots of palm trees and butts, and he thinks he did a very good job, and I fully agree.
Absolutely crushed it. He got a beautiful at the end of the movie. He got a beautiful shot of the famously non-light polluted sky of LA.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Looking up through some palm trees. Mwah. Famously. Yeah, I mean, this is a lot of praise in that category. And I'm curious as to how it's going to how it's going to translate to entertainment value. I'm going to start this one off real quick. I'm just going to give this a quick four. This was my second time watching it. And I feel like knowing kind of what was going to be coming up made it even more entertaining. Like the first time I watched it was like a roller coaster, because that last 20 minutes, it was just like, what the fuck just happened? What the fuck? But on a subsequent watch, you could just like, I was able to just kind of watch along and kind of just see all of the little things and kind of anticipate that buildup and appreciate more of the shots and listen to, you know, more of the music and take all of that in. And man, I'm so thoroughly entertained. With this being the second time, like I was typing notes on my laptop the entire time, and man, it was really hard to parse through what I typed down because I didn't stop looking at the screen at all. And so it was just fucking littered with typos here, typos there. Like, did I mean that? I don't know. Whatever. So this absolutely passed the phone test both times I watched it. So 5 from me, and I'll kick it to 4. Brooks.
Yeah. Did you mean 5 or did you mean 4?
4.
There you go. Okay.
I said 4. The listeners agree.
Okay. So yeah, pretty much everything you said, except I wasn't actually taking notes during this movie at all, because this was my first time through, and I wasn't even really paying attention to the runtime of it, of 141 minutes. I mean, it just,
damn. I mean, that was over two, that's almost 2.5 hours.
It's 2:20.
Is it? Oh, shit, it is.
It's a 2 hours, 20 minute movie, dog.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's long.
Yeah.
Okay, well, having watched this twice...
But it doesn't feel it.
It does not feel it.
I would have thought.
Not at all.
Because there's enough stuff in there to keep you entertained throughout the whole
Ryan's
movie.
Ryan's blown away.
Jesus Christ.
A little bit, yeah. I usually feel it. Even the movies I love, I feel it at 2 hours, 20. I don't feel it at all here.
So yeah, no, this was 100% painless. On that, I mean, it flew by. Wow. Which is a good sign, because it's like, I sat there and thought, I was like, wait, movie's over? And then I looked at it and I was like, oh crap, it's over 2 hours. So yeah, when a movie does that to you, you know you're invested. So, solid 4 again. Let me go to Ryan.
I think I'm gonna be brief, though I guess I can lean into I'm gonna be brief. I'll save it for direction. I'm thoroughly entertained by it. You can tell by how blown away I was that this was a 2-hour, 20-minute movie. I think it flies. I think it's got such a good pace through it. And I think, again, going back to like my piano analogy, I think there are so many emotions you'll feel when watching it too. Like, even if you feel like the end is very different, like that's a feeling. And then there are like laughs throughout, and then you'll feel very fucking sad, and you'll feel grossed out at a certain point. You'll feel so fucking gross. Angry. You'll feel fucking like so many emotions. And I feel like that is the sign of a good movie, where you just like are always on edge of like not knowing what to feel. I guess, all right, it rides a line, because then you can get into like a tonal mess of not knowing what to feel. But this one does it perfectly, where you feel safe the entire time. It's like being, not that I would know, hypothetically, allegedly on an acid trip, but like you've got a really good Sherpa who's just sitting there being like, it's all good, buddy. It's all good. And you don't know what's going to happen, but like you're just so reassured. And that's how I feel like this movie is. It's an entertaining kind of roller coaster, but like I know that strap is tight, it's gonna hold me. That's much better than using a drug reference. I'll just scrap that. Yeah. Sean, just scrap that drug reference. Hypothetically, allegedly,
you said
doesn't
hypothetically?
Need to be there.
And yeah, allegedly. It was hypothetical.
Yeah,
you're good.
I don't high know 4 out of 4
legal bases covered.
High 4 out of 4.
High 4 out of 4.
Who's that?
Hypothetically, lead? Allegedly.
Yeah, who you kicking to?
Oh shit! Who's
Ryan? I think.
Yeah, that's all right. Left.
Let's go with Kyle. Say Bry Guy for last.
I like it. I'll be quick. I did not know this was 220 my first time watching. I did know it the second time because I had to watch it in a couple of chunks. But no, at no point do you ever feel it. That's a fantastic credit to this movie because I'm famous for my number one complaint is you could take 10 to 20 minutes off of any movie. Don't do it with this. This is perfect. You should watch it. It flies by. I will throw in my one complaint. I am tired of the in-car sideways shot of a crash. It's not exciting. I've seen it a billion times. I see it coming every fucking time. I saw it coming this time. Not taking any points off. This still gets the highest of fours for me in entertainment value. Brian?
Man, this movie fucks. I was thoroughly entertained. I did have to pause the movie one time, though. That's because the five-year-old came out of her room, and it was like 45 minutes left of the movie, and I was like, God, I hope whatever I pause on doesn't traumatize you for life. And luckily, it was just an empty white bathroom, so we were good.
Okay. But,
and like that close to the end of the movie where shit starts getting real crazy, it could have been bad. But there's a reason that this movie was nominated for an Academy Award for Best Picture. One of only 7 horror movies in all time to receive that honor.
Ooh.
Do you guys think you could name the other 6?
Jaws is one, I know.
Jaws is one, you were correct.
The Exorcist as well.
Absolutely.
American Psycho.
No.
Damn it. Then I'm out.
Is that considered a horror?
Give me a sec.
Horror satire? Thriller satire? It might be thriller.
There's 4 more, and they're all more recent.
Let's pin this for Patreon. Yeah.
Okay, I'll pin it.
Shape of Water.
Hey!
Get out of here. That's not even one of them.
What? It fucking won.
Romance. That's a romance
movie. It won Best
movie.
Picture.
But it's not a horror movie.
It's got a fucking fish man that bites off Michael Shannon's finger.
Yeah, but it's a sexy fish man.
And only because somebody fucked it.
It's Doug
Jones. It didn't choose to be sexy.
It's Abe Sapien.
Sexy was forced upon it.
The film also was nominated for a Palme d'Or. So, you know, we're doing the French thing too. So, God, this movie was very successful.
Love to see it.
Obviously, which is great for it. I love that.
Mostly even though worldwide.
It basically broke even domestically. So it's a good thing it had such a good showing in France, where obviously the director and writer of this movie are from, and most of the crew. It gets an 11 out of 11 minute standing ovation for me, too. It's a 4.
Hell yeah. You know, you really love to see that her last and name. Hear that. Because, like, I heard nobody talking about this movie when it came out. Same. Like, I didn't even know about this movie until I left. Like, I went to see Long Legs.
Mm. Yeah, it was like Oscar season was when I was like, oh, apparently The Substance was good. I'm just hearing about this movie.
Yeah. I had gotten home from Long Legs, and I had seen a poster for this. I'm like, oh, that looks interesting. I got home, and I saw something similar where, like, I just saw rave reviews about it just pop up on the feed because, you know, my phone knew I was at the theater. Like, well,
spend
looks
more
like
money.
I'm watching that.
Use your Regal points.
Yeah, right.
I will
right.
say this was also the movie where, like, 3 different people were like, hey, have you watched The Substance yet?
Was that one of them? Hint, hint.
You were, Ryan like was, this. And somebody else was, but 3, but they're like, hey, you should watch The Substance if you haven't yet.
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah, I'm on it, but thanks. Appreciate you looking out for me.
I got you. Yeah, and that wasn't even because of the butts. That's just that's a bonus point there.
Oh, yeah.
That leads us into our final category, which is direction. And I really want Ryan to start this one off.
Hey, so I'm not going to beat around the bush at all. This is going to be a 5 for me. I'm going to give this the bonus point. I love Coralie
Double
Berger.
Bonus point episode.
Oh, wow. I think it's deserved. Maybe not. Maybe somebody can fight me on it. That's fine. I love this director. She strikes me as the same kind of real up and coming visionary, like the person who does Saltburn and the, I can't think of her fucking name either. It's gonna fucking kill me because she's so good, and Promising Young Woman. But Coralie, she did Revenge in 2017, which is a really straightforward like thriller, but it was shot beautifully, like so good. Stories, it's simple. It's just a simple revenge movie, as the title suggests.
But what?
Immediately, like, you're taken with the visuals and like the pacing and editing. Like, it just, it's a beautiful looking movie. I think The Substance is such a phenomenal step up from even that movie. Mm-hmm. I think it is firing on all cylinders. I think she is commanding the craft in a way that the masters do. She might be borrowing from Kubrick, but she's doing other things on her own that I think are like equally amazing. The opening long shot of the star being put in the Hall of Fame, the Walk of Fame or whatever it's called, and just the storytelling that does. You immediately understand all you need to know about Elizabeth before she even shows one fucking frame on camera. Like, it's such good storytelling, and it's just, again, the bold command of a director who knows what she's doing, and she's still relatively young in her directing career. So I am beyond blown away by this. The only other thing I will say is I lost my fucking shit at the interstitial title card of Monstro Elizasu.
So
and had
good.
Such a fucking laugh in a way that only one director has done besides her, and that's Zach Cregger in Weapons, and I will not spoil it, but it's the other, just, he is another one who just like has a command of the craft already, and it's only his second movie. Talented directors, absolutely love what she's doing here. Can't wait to see everything else she does. I will see every single one going forward. Five, the highest five possible. And with that, I want to get some pepper on that salt, or vice versa, salt on that pepper, and salt's negative. Salt. Brooks, salt my pepper.
Do people have to pay extra for that?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, you guys can hear Brooke's take on the Patreon to Kyle. Just kidding.
Yep, there we go. No, I agree. I mean, this is a very young director. She did do one episode of the Sandman series as well. So, which is very... The comic I know is definitely... out there, which would fit, I would feel, with her directing style so far. Talking about the Monstro Elizasu, it felt very Borderlands boss intro.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Mm-hmm. There. And I always laugh at those. Mm-hmm. I kind of expected like a little subtext underneath it talking about the personality a little bit, like, you know, thinks she's very pretty or something like that would have been even better, or maybe just too much over the top. I don't know. But I love that. I'm not going to go into too much on this one because I pretty much agree with everything Ryan says. So this is a 4 for me. And let me kick off to Kyle.
Good, because I disagree with Ryan.
Oh no!
On Revenge?
No, I fucking love
the Revenge. The movie's not about Revenge at all.
I love Homegirl. Where's the fucking cheat sheet? Because I don't want to say her last name, but Coralie. Coralie disagreement
Farja.
Is
Farja.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not saying that one. I disagree
with
the Kubrick reference. I mean, I think the obvious reference to like The Shining is there, but like directorially, man, as a kid that grew up on it, this is just such a fucking love letter to Cronenberg in mm-hmm. every regard. And she fucking, dude, it's so goddamn good.
The same piece as Fall Off of Sue that fell off of the Brundle Fly. Yeah.
It's insane, like, just the Elizasu at the end, like, the fucking, the body horror is so fucking next level. It starts so slow with like the dead finger on. God damn it, man. I don't want to talk too much either because I'm obviously giving it the highest four. I'm happy Ryan gave it the five. I think that's great. This probably should have gone in substance too. I love like just all the visual stuff that she pulls off when like the split is happening, like how it shows the eyeball that split coming out is so fucking cool. The way it moves around. And nobody has mentioned it yet, but both this and Revenge, not only directed by fellas, written by her too, which is ridiculous. And is just, that's both legs in the pants. That's taking full charge. They wanted to take Final Cut away from her and change the ending, and she said, no, fuck you. It's in my contract. We're keeping it as is.
Uh-huh.
That's big dick energy on this lady. That is big dick energy.
It lost her a lot of distribution through Universal.
Mm-hmm. They had to pick it up from Mubi. It's crazy. Yeah. But she was like, no, fuck you. And kudos, girl. Love it. If he didn't give it the bonus point, I maybe would have here and taken two. So fucking A gets the four. And I'm kicking it to Brian. And we'll have Sean take us out.
Yeah. I was going to say the same thing about the distribution deal, so I'm glad you touched on that. Just the command she has and the vision. She said no to Universal. She said no to Marvel Studios because they tapped her for Black Widow. And she said, I want to do my own thing. And I love that. But part of me is also just a tiny little bit upset that we didn't get her version of Black Widow. She used her own arm for the shots with the needle going in. She's a badass. And I love her. And it's a 4 out of 4 for me. Sean, bring us home.
Ryan, I'm glad that you brought up Revenge.
The score's ridiculous.
Because I was just watching something on that the other day. And I am so glad after Revenge bombed so hard that she was able to go ahead and do this and get some fucking recognition. I love the comparisons to Zach Cregger. Like, I think that is so fucking on the nose, dude. Like, the vision here, the vision in pulling out what she wrote, I didn't know when I was talking about shots earlier exactly where that went, but there was so much attention to detail for every character, every like Ryan had mentioned it earlier that there are shots that are used in certain scenes that are just never seen ever again, ever in there because it doesn't matter. It is perfect for that. All the way up to something that wasn't mentioned in that ridiculous ending where she's just spinning in a circle, fire hosing everybody with her arm blood. There's this above shot of her just spinning around and around. And it's almost circle. Like in this joyous nature that she's just having the best time soaking everybody down. And even Alyssa Sue has like a ridiculously short but interesting arc where she thinks that she's probably pretty. She gets all dolled up and then realizes that she's a monster and like fucking staples Lizzie's face onto her face like a paper, like, and then and goes then through the whole Frankenstein's monster makeup thing. Yeah. Like the fact that Monstro has her own fucking arc stuffed in there. Oh my God, dude. Four. Like Ryan said, I will watch anything that she puts out going forward without a shadow of a doubt. Like, God damn, I'm so glad that you boys enjoyed this. Brian, can you give us a breakdown of how this movie fared on the aggregate sites and how Absolutely. We reviewed this?
Yeah, Rotten Tomatoes, critically 89%, very high, very good in Seems the eyes low. Of the critics. 76% audience, and that's kind of where this thing lands on all the other sites, too, is in the 70s. 7.2 on IMDb, 78 on Metacritic, and 3.8 on Letterboxd. So, it's actually pretty awesome that we gave it a full 100.
God
damn. It got a the perfect 99 score, has been dethroned. Even though Brooks and I tried to dock it points for story, it still somehow managed a perfect score.
Then bonus points, huh?
Yeah.
Well, what that really just tells me is that audiences just don't like women. So, shocker, right?
You know, if you don't even read it as like a metaphor for like beauty and women's beauty standards and all this shit, you can also read it as like drug addictions or any kind of like self,
oh, yeah,
like harming addictions.
Consumerism. The willingness to just replace and destroy and keep consuming and always new, fresh new. I don't care about that. What is new? What's next? Give me next. Give me all that shrimp.
I saw this story basically in the 90s when it was on Batman the Animated Series on the episodes Feats of Clay.
Uh-huh. Is it a Clayface episode?
We love Clayface.
Which is like one of the best story arc episodes, two-parters, I think. That one, anything to do with Mr. Freeze, just because of how they portray those characters.
Mm-hmm.
And Feats of Clay feels like the substance, like the prototype a little bit to this. So,
you know, how fun would that be? It's like, this is new writer-director who's amazing, and she was inspired by an episode of Batman.
Hey, there's talk of a Clayface movie.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of talk about it.
I would love to see her take on this.
If this was my movie, I would have put Clayface on the billboard right outside of Liz Sparkle's window.
Yep. No relation to Robin Sparkles.
You know, I feel like there might be, though. This isn't the How I Met Your Mother universe.
Yeah.
It could be.
Yeah, you don't know.
And that, kids, is how I stepped in a puddle of your mother.
Your mother's pizza pie.
It's also in the Doctor Whoverse, because didn't she also turn into the last human?
Yeah. Moisturize me.
Yeah.
Dear,
it's a very specific joke.
Oh yeah.
The people who got it are loving it.
Yes.
Is what I'm pulling from this show. That is the quote of the show. Yo, we got the grindies coming up at some point, right?
Oh, yeah, we do.
Oh, that just made me hungry.
Right. Oh, Angelina's, let's go.
Stop it. That's,
that is very
regional. That you want to talk about niche references.
Oh, my God. Guys, folks, listeners, if you liked what you heard here, hell, if you are interested in finding out what the other horror movies were that got nominated. Is everybody
go to wikipedia.com?
Patreon.com/experiencegrind. You can also find that right on our linktree/experiencegrind. You can find the Patreon there where you get bonus episodes every week. And you can also find the Discord where we are currently doing a bracketology on Halloween candy. And if you're listening to this anytime other than like the second and third week of October, it's going to be something.
Not going to care.
But come join us. Have a good time. Are you sick of watching people be racist and your grandma Stacy say awful, mean things to people on Facebook? Leave them.
Grandma Stacy.
Come join the Discord.
Or your friends crash out constantly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
Who are you talking about?
Come hang out. Discord's there.
Ah!
But who's up next week?
It's Brooksy.
Me, Brooks. Brooks, what do you got coming at us?
So next week, I have another kind of out there film. I haven't seen this yet myself, but I saw the premise of it, and I thought it was A, hilarious, and B, just kind of awesome. And it is called Glorious.
Glorious.
It's got J.K. Simmons.
It has J.K. Simmons in it.
Really? I feel like I just heard about this movie recently. Ah, 2022 movie. The cover reminds me kind of Mandy.
Okay. Interesting.
Yep.
Glorious!
It's a COVID movie. It is... Yeah, I immediately thought of the
Robert is this another Rude one? Nobody has seen this in the chat?
I have not seen this.
It'll be a fresh
experience. This is good. This is a fresh experience. I love it.
Yeah. And yes, will it beat the substance?
I feel like it passes the Sean test of movie length in terms of time.
20 minutes. Let's go.
The Kyle test of it won't be total shit.
79 minutes is more than passing the test.
Yeah. Uh-huh. That's basically a Disney original movie length.
I'm going to be positive, yeah, and it's going to be great, y'all.
I'm looking forward to 79
minutes of excellence.
Hey, nobody said it was a bad thing that it was short.
Yeah.
I heard Disney Channel original, and that kind of put me into a negative headspace.
Well, there's no way that
this movie was on Disney Channel. So
Disney Channel original movies are the best.
Yeah, unlike Man's Best Friend, which could
Smart House? Are you kidding me?
Mr. Boogeyman
from the 21st century?
Mm. Y'all count me out on that month.
Zetus Lapidus.
Let's go.
Okay, before Ryan breaks, guys, I will see you all over on the Patreon, listenerspatreon.com/experiencegrind. And until next week, go activate yourself.
I would have said terminate.
That, don't kill yourself.
I would have said stabilize.
Tonally, you were probably closer, but no, I like activate.
Brian, what about Luck of the Irish?
A smooth Luck of the Irish.
Like, oh, man.
It's like Teen Wolf, but for a leprechaun.
I've seen that one. That's the worst example you could go with.
That's why I love it, dude. They're so...
Oh, that's why you like them. Okay, yeah, that makes sense now. Okay.
I'm not super into it. Like, they're just... God, they're so fun to watch.
Isn't the main character of that one? It's bad that I know this, but I think the main character of Luck of the Irish is named Kyle.
Of course. Oh, of course.